Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, it's Joe here from Guitar Nerds. Just dropping in to tell you about our Patreon. Patreon.com/GuitarNerds. Every week, we release an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerdery, as well as podcast notes and my Brand of the Week series. All for $5 a month. This week in the Patreon special episode, me, Mark, Matt, and Jay dive into a double header of subject matter. We tackle high-end super boutique effect brands such as Pete Cornish, Shin, Solar Sounds, and Vemerum. Following that, we take a look at new offerings from both Silvertone and Dan Electro and ask the question, who makes the coolest Sears guitars in town? All this and more. Patreon.com/GuitarNerds. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by a completely full house, Mark Packham.
Boom, 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 boom.
Jay Cross.
Wa-ba-ba, that's my name.
And Matthew Knight.
Joe, you've been really loud. I think you need to, like,
too enthusiastic.
Calm it down. Always enthusiastic at the start. Matt, it's
calm
your
it down,
first...
Boy. Your head's getting burnt. I know you can't stop thinking of her.
Matt, it's your first podcast back for 2019.
It feels like time has just continued and there
That's
was no
time
Christmas.
Works.
or no, there was no New Year. There was no Christmas. Only work. And the only thing that didn't work was my internet. I can't believe how slow it was last week.
Yeah, it was really bad.
I mean, yes, we did talk on the podcast about how your internet you use a potato as a router because it's really not very good. But it's wonderful to have you back on the podcast. And holy goodness,
Batman.
everyone! There's loads of stuff happening because NAMM is just around the corner, which means loads of cool things are getting released.
Does this mean we'll have nothing to talk about NAMM because
everyone's
already released everything?
That's true. Everyone is announcing early. And then on top of that, this is the 199th episode. Of course, the 200th episode won't be for another fortnight or something.
What's actually happening next week?
Shut up. NAMM specials next week.
What NAMM specials?
You and me are doing the NAMM specials with little bits and bobs from Jay and Matt who are going to be on site at NAMM.
What we could do...
We'll be here next Monday.
Will we?
We'll all be here.
Oh,
yeah.
Crap.
Oh, no, Jay leaves early.
What are you talking about?
When are you leaving for NAMM?
I fly on Sunday.
Oh, right, so we won't all be here next Monday.
No.
What are me and Joe going to do? Because NAMM won't have started.
I'll be here.
Oh,
I'll be there.
Okay, we'll do a little threesome.
I don't fly till next Wednesday.
Okay, there you go. Let's keep this
off the podcast.
Episode 200
wonderful
will just be...
Guys.
This is what the people want. They don't listen to guitar nerds to be nerds about guitars. They want to know about our social lives and stuff. They want to know about the fact that you've got 10 mouth ulcers. That's what they want to know
more
about.
More than that, my friend.
He's struggling to talk today. So let me get this straight. Next week.
Yeah.
NAMM won't have started, so we can't legitimately call it a NAMM special. So it is going to be episode 200 next
episode
week.
Episode 199
B.
Part 2. Yeah. I will find a way around it. I haven't thought of that way around it, but let's not discuss it on the podcast because I'm going to think of that way around the next couple of days.
But also, I don't trust your tiny brain to come up with a solution.
It's
going to
be a great solution.
Thousands of listeners who listen to this might have a solution.
Hundreds.
10,000.
Tens.
Clip show. next week.
Clip show.
Clip show, yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, we did a what show? Sorry?
Clip show.
Oh, right. that sounds reasonable. Yeah, yeah, it probably will be something like that. Anyway, I'm going to announce it. We'll announce it. We'll check. We'll argue about it over the next few days, Mark.
I don't feel comfortable about how the episode's numbering structure has gone.
Right, fine. Well, we'll argue about it, and then we'll come up with some halfway house. Anyway.
It's because, like everything Guitar Nerds, we come up with these great ideas and then we just sort of bumble along and don't. Yeah, we commit to something. We say we're going to do something and then we just don't find a way to commit to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Well, it's normally because we don't have enough time, but now someone's full time. I mean,
how many times have we said we need to get rid of Joe? Now he's ended up doing it full time.
That is true.
Exactly.
These
tequila sunrises aren't going to drink themselves, boys. Anyway, Matt Knight, it's the first time you've been back for a while. So why don't you tell us some stuff about what you've been up to? I understand you've built two new, rather small pedal boards.
Yeah, I was going to talk about how I had all my windows replaced double glazing, but I'm guessing that's not as interesting, right?
I was not expecting you to say that in the slightest.
you mean you had your windows replaced?
Which actually does lead on to something guitar related, because my house became incredibly dusty and I had to clean all my guitars, which meant I actually got to play all my guitars because I've only really played my Music Man for the last year exclusively.
Really? What else have you got at the house at the moment? You've got the SG, the old 2008 SG, fitted with
In fact, I've played more acoustic than anything.
What acoustic do you have? It's a Canadian brand, isn't it? I can't remember.
Garrison.
Mr. Garrison.
A terrible name for a brand. I think they got bought by Gibson and then Gibson went, see ya, and then just literally ditched the entire brand.
What about your pink Paisley
Strat,
yeah.
Do you know what? The more I play it, the more I don't like the way it plays.
I thought you loved it.
I did, but do you know what? Having played the Music Man so much, and I think it's the combination of the slightly flatter radius and the stainless steel frets versus the normal frets and 7.5 inch radius of the Strat. It's just, I don't know. I think maybe it could do with a setup, to be honest.
I really like that Strat. My only problem with that Strat of yours is that you've got the trem arm is some sort of kid's guitar trem arm that you've
got. It's the best trem arm, a short trem arm. Why do you want a really long trem arm?
It's sawn off. It's a sawn off
trem arm.
Sawn off trem arm.
You go to prison for that.
It just looks weird. It doesn't look right. It makes the whole guitar look like a knockoff.
Yeah,
and what else is kicking around? You've got the Ocean Pink Les Paul as well.
Ocean Pink, officially Ocean Pink, which has got a load of dings and scratches on it. It's great.
How
it
feels come?
Like it's actually wearing in. I don't know, it's probably because I don't look after it very well.
Getting bashed
actually,
with the vacuum cleaner and stuff.
One of the pots is actually cracked because they are, unfortunately, quite... I don't know, they're quite cheap. You know, if you press on them slightly too hard, if you take them off and put them back on, they do tend to break.
That's like the case with every Gibson-style pot, though. I don't think I've ever seen a guitar that's all with pots
on it. No, but the vintage amber ones tend to always crack, I tend to find. And I don't know if it's a way they're moulded or not.
It might be the material they have to use to make them, like,
translucent. Yeah, maybe. I'm sure I remember at one point, I think the numbers were hand-painted on some of them.
Right.
Because that's how they used to do them. So they mould it in the amber and then they painted the white paint inside.
Got it.
On the volume knobs?
Yeah.
That
not
is...
Not on the tone.
Only the volume.
Only the volume ones.
That's still what happens with Fender stuff that's got numbers on it. Yeah, so like the 72 stuff is hand painted.
Wow. Really? Cool. Or even on like cheap stuff?
Probably not. No, don't know. Right. Don't think so. But the American made stuff. So like American originals.
Right. Wow.
I don't think I'm making that up. I'm sure that's true. I heard it and thought that was bananas.
Yeah.
I'm almost 100% sure on that.
Right.
Wow. That's amazing.
The Ocean Pink Les Paul. Have you performed any modifications to it at all yet?
Only apart from the pickups, which I changed ages ago. But actually, it did make me think one crazy thing. I kind of want to try nylon saddles.
Yeah.
Like so 63.
Speaking,
I'm sort of into
so
it.
Talk,
like,
talk to me about maybe. The advantage of nylon saddles, Jay Cross.
Speaking of nylon saddles, we went out for a pint this week. Oh, Matt, your house is on fire.
Yeah, Matt, your house
that's
is
all right.
On fire.
Don't worry about it.
Just talking about all these expensive guitars. We should leave this in. Totally.
We are.
So speaking of nylon saddles, we went out for a pint on Saturday and one of the people that was there was friend of the podcast, Mikey Demas from the band Skindred. And Mikey was talking about how he's got a 63 335, and it's got the left-handed and it's got the nylon saddles. And I don't know why, it just, those nylon saddles just do seem to make it sound and feel a bit better.
They take off some of the zing, I think.
Right, I see.
That you can get. They can sound quite bright, but nylon saddles kind of like dull everything off a little bit, and they sound a little bit warmer and a little bit woolier.
It's weird though, because that's the opposite of what I would want normally. But anytime I've played a guitar with nylon saddles, I've thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't. There's probably something in the way it changes the way it feels as well. I think probably very, very slightly. I wouldn't necessarily think it'd be like an instant thing. Going, wow, I can definitely feel the nylon saddles and that.
Oh yeah,
I still think the biggest thing, as I said, with the frets is stainless steel.
Bang.
Really? What is there actually any noticeable difference between stainless steel and?
Yeah, do you know, someone described it as picking up a brand new guitar for the first time every time, because they just don't wear. So they feel nicer on the fingers if you're bending strings. They tend to sound a bit brighter. I tend to find that they're smoother as well for like moving around the neck, like just playing. I don't know what it is, but you kind of, nickel strings, obviously frets, they obviously wear, which you don't get with stainless steel as well.
What does it cost for a set of nylon saddles?
For nylon saddles?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know where you can buy them.
No.
Which actually reminds me of another thing that I'm going to put out to the group, because I can't find it. I'm sure someone out there will find it. I need a clear Strat scratch plate, three single coils, and the matching clear back plate.
I know exactly where I can get you one, Matty. I was talking to a man on a competing musical instrument marketplace. Well, it's a marketplace for everything today.
Gumtree.
It wasn't Gumtree.
who?
Friday ads.
It was in the Friday ads. I phoned him up and I said, "Oh, so you're just
hello there,
the
Mr. Dave Friday ad."
Yeah,
it's his last name.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. And he makes all kinds of scratch plates out of literally every single colour, including transparent metal, rainbow.
Sorry, transparent metal?
Yeah, transparent metal. Yeah, yeah. No, transparent plus metal. Yeah, and all sorts of stuff. So I'll point you in the right direction, Matty.
Oh,
I'm
amazing.
Sure,
yeah, because the only one I can find on eBay comes from China, and it takes 4 to 6 weeks.
Classic.
I'm like, can't wait that long.
If only you knew someone who, you know, maybe was in charge of spares and accessories at the company who made the guitar that you're trying to get the plate for.
Clear scratch plate, do they?
I don't know.
Not in stock, surely.
No, it's not.
I reckon I could make it work.
Well, we'll see.
Who knows? Anyway, Matt Knight,
got
tell
long
me about
fingers.
Tell me about your mini
pies
pedal
that are far
boards.
Away.
Great.
I think I've got a combination of fingers in pies and pedal boards.
Yeah, tell us about your pedal boards.
I haven't used my ES8 for ages, and I haven't actually had a full-size pedal board for ages. And I kind of just wanted to build something like way before Christmas, and I was like, I'd order something from... Because I really wanted to get something from Rich at Alder and Ash. I really want to go for like a nice wood pedal board. It's never going to leave my house. I'm never going to gig it. I just want to have something nice at home.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, there's just a couple of pedals I just always want to mess around with. So I had the kind of small YG pedal board, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to stick a load of pedals on that. And that's become my main pedal board for like the last 2 months. And I've been chopping and changing stuff. And I think I finally got it to a point where I'm like, actually, this is some of the most fun I've had with a pedal board in ages, because I've just stripped it back massively. I've got OC2 octave.
You're running these completely switcherless, yeah?
Yep.
Great.
I'm actually using my feet across the entire pedal board, over just one switching system.
Okay, so an OC2.
OC2.
Classic.
My Snarling Dogs wah, which is still the best wah I've ever tried.
So for the listeners, just what they are, the Boss OC2, which is the sort of mid-80s, the last sort of tracking octave I think Boss ever made.
People know what that is.
I know, but it's good to elaborate on what
they are. It's the ultimate octave pedal for bass players. It seems to be the one that I constantly get asked for to remake. And actually, when I was talking to Guy Pratt, he's like, oh, I did like all of the major session work I ever did on an OC2, like Earth Song, Michael Jackson, and Like a Prayer, Madonna, was all OC2.
Absolutely classic pedal. You know, MXR have just done a copy of it.
I know.
Vintage bass Octava with exactly the same controls.
Still not as good, though. Yeah.
But still not as good.
Still not as good. Joe Branton's actually got my old rarer version of the OC2.
Yeah, I do.
Which is the Octaveur, which was the first print version. Yeah. And
what's that one called then?
So it's they just had an R on the end of it. So it's the it says Octave OC2 on all of them except for the first batch, which were Octaveur. So mine's a 1984, which I bought off of Matt. 1984 Octaveur.
Weird. Yeah. Are they worth more money just for the rarity?
A little bit. They're a bit harder to find. But they're all built in Japan, those OC2s.
It's the only pedal that's never, ever come off my pedal board.
Wow.
Yeah. Analog octave. And it does, you know, it tracks really well. And it's just wicked sounding. It's also the same octave sound from that CKY song.
Oh, it's so good.
Bernadette.
That's enough.
That's enough.
So that is that octave sound. And then that goes into, my Snarling Dog's Moldspore Wah, the best wah pedal ever made because it's got a ring modulator built into it.
Is that the wah that's shaped like an actual foot?
Yeah. It's shaped like an actual foot.
So it has all the toes and everything.
And the if I can remember rightly, the wah, there's three different types of wah: Shaft, Voodoo, and White Room, which is the Clapton, the Jimi Hendrix, and the Shaft. Of what?
Samuel Jackson, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton. Great.
The three, the three trifecta of wah.
But yeah, it's got an expression controlled ring modulator in it, which is just
in it.
That's everything you want.
Yeah, but Snarling Dog's made a bunch of crazy.
Is it the same company that made those picks?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, probably not made those picks. Those picks, I'd imagine, were generic picks.
What were they called? Like Big Brains or something like that? Snarling Dogs.
Something Brains.
Pick Brain or something. No, it was something like that.
I'll have a look.
Yeah.
But they made a bunch of crazy. They did one called the Something Moan, which was a volume pedal. But when you clicked the toe down, it turned into a reverse tape delay simulator.
Ooh. That sounds cool. That sounds
excellent. And they made a bunch of other the kind of crazy wah pedals.
I wonder what they're doing now, because for a while, like, you could buy those in loads of shops and stuff. They were like pretty popular and pretty easy to get, and then they just disappeared completely.
They were just called Brain Picks.
Oh, there we go.
So it wasn't like Snot Brain or anything like that.
Do you know what?
You
there was
pick your brains. Oh,
you know what else you can pick? It. Your nose.
There was actually someone someone actually wrote a blog about their involvement in Snarling Dogs, and I think it was something like he made all the pedal designs, and then they didn't pay him any money, and then like sacked him off, and then made a bunch of pedals. I'd have to like try and find the blog article. And
I think I'm actually reading it now. Captain Six String Blog Spot.
That might be the one. Yeah, and I think it's got one blog post, and I think it's about his involvement with.
So it's really long.
It
is really long, and I started reading it. I was like, okay, I've got the sort of gist. He got pretty screwed over.
I have just googled Snarling Dogs, and the first few things that come up are some dogs that are snarling.
Right, yeah,
so
surprising.
You know, got to be careful. The internet, it's really scary. Rottweilers.
The the other pedal you were talking about, Matty, was the Erogenous Moan.
That's it.
Oh my goodness,
that's awful.
They also did the Tweed E Dog. That wasn't a wah. That was just a regular stomp box. The Fuzz Buzz. The Bootzilla. Which I assume is
That was the bass wah.
Yeah. Ball Buster bass wah. So maybe the Bootzilla wasn't the bass wah, because there is the Ball Buster bass wah.
Wow.
What does it say? Have I got any more info here? Let me have a quick look. No, the Bootzilla has no extra info on it. What else? There was the Crossroads, which is their AB box. They all look basically the same, just in a different colour. They've got a snarling dog on the front with two eyes that light up for the LED indicators.
Yeah. It's a cool pedal, though. The wah sound is wicked.
And what does that run into?
So I'm using the Dane, which I absolutely love.
Oh, perfect.
It sounds amazing.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's actually getting some use.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely amazing. The only thing is, and I said to Adrian, I was like, you need to make the bass boost just on its own in like a mini pedal, because I just want the bass boost in like a separate pedal as well, because it sounds wicked. And then I run into my 90s reissue Deluxe Memory Man, which I've discovered, and this is a common thing, that there's a massive volume drop on them. And if you turn up the input level to kind of try and balance things out. A lot of the repeats can get quite distorted. And there's five trim pots inside that need to be like really well balanced. But what I've done is run it in a little single loop switcher so I don't keep stepping on the incredibly ropey Electro-Harmonics foot switch, and run a TC Electronics Spark Boost Mini to afterwards to just boost the volume back up.
Oh, cool.
So actually you give the pedal less input gain so the repeats are cleaner and then just boost the volume back up with the Spark Boost Mini.
Oh, awesome.
And then I go into the old DC2, original DC2 Dimension Chorus, and then into my DD5.
Oh, very
classic
nice.
90s digital delay. Yeah. But it has a very special sound, the DD5. It sits at a really nice, pleasing frequency range that's not really bright like modern digital delays, but it's not really dark like an analog delay. And that is the classic Radiohead OK Computer delay pedal that's on like 90% of the entire record.
You're keeping that pretty boss orientated, your whole board.
Well, you know. Better than
gotta rep it.
Something else.
So I've found a pretty comprehensive list of Snarling Dogs pedals, just so you know. So you've got the Ball Buster Bass Wah, the Black Ball, the Blues Balls, the Bootzilla, which was a Bootsy Collins signature wah, so it was a bass wah, but it's Bootsy signature. The Erogenous Moan tape reverse simulator, the Fireball, which is described as a two alarm wah. The Mold Spore Wah, which is described as the Psycho Scumatic Wah. The Tweed E Dog, the Black Dog, the Fuzz Buzz, the Blue Do, which I guess maybe a Jimi Hendrix Fuzz, I guess. Yeah. The Crossroads, the Very Tone Dog, the Super Ball Fireball, the Super Ball Wino Wah, the Wino Wah, the Wonder Wah, and the Wonder Wah 2.
Wow, that's comprehensive.
Maybe. It's time to start the entire Snarling Dogs Wah collection.
I reckon
that's our next thing. Yeah. That's a great idea. Matt, let's actually do that. I'm up for that. Let's do that.
I don't know why you keep announcing these things on the podcast, because all that's going to happen is the prices are going to start going up before you can even get there.
Yeah, that's true. We're definitely not going to do that, listeners.
Well, we're going to collect all the Dan Electro Food Series.
Right now, they basically all seem to be going for about £100.
Oh. How many are there to collect?
How many are there? 20, I think you said. 18.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Also, worth pointing out, the effectsdatabase.com, which is a website I use a lot, has a Patreon, and they've only got $32 a month right now. And I figure for such a great resource,
wow, that is a
they
great
should
resource.
Be on more than that. So go and donate to effectsdatabase.com on Patreon.
After you, mate.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I'll donate to a couple of Patreons. Why not add it to the list?
Okay, hey, Chris.
I use the money that people give us on Patreon. I just put it straight back into the things that I want to listen to.
I know for a fact that's not true, because I don't trust any of you with any of the money, and I keep it all.
That is actually true. Jay Cross, this week you were on the a very long episode of the Tone Mob podcast.
Yeah, I was. Well, it wasn't actually really long. It's just Blake and I were on the phone. I nearly said blower there, but I've been really careful, because I work with a lot of people who English isn't their first language, and I say blower a lot, and they just look at me like, what are you
on the blower? You know,
got someone on the blower. I was on the phone to Blake for 4.5 hours.
Wow.
Last Tuesday, I think we recorded. It was great. It was really cool hanging out with Blake. I'm assuming everyone who listens to this podcast is aware of the TimeMob.com podcast. It's run by Blake, who you will know from there, or you will know from his Instagram page, which is really big, or you may also know him from being co-host of the Chasing Tone Wampler podcast. But yeah, Blake is lovely, really fantastic, really great guy to spend some time with. I mean, our only real like IRL interaction was when we hung out for maybe half an hour at NAMM last year. And other than that, we've just had, you know, interactions
virtual relations.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. On Facebook groups and this, that, and the other. But yeah, we were on the phone for ages, and it was really nice. And we actually talked for like an hour and a half before he said, "Oh, I should have just recorded all of this, shouldn't I?" so then we started recording, and then we talked, I think, again for a little bit longer after that. But no, it was really nice. It was really nice to hang out with him. He is
it's
great.
It's out already, isn't it?
Don't think so.
No? Okay.
No, it didn't come out today.
Right,
so,
okay.
Right.
So look out for that, listeners.
Yes. Yeah. And he's great. And it was really nice to hang out. I don't really remember what we talked about. Right. I don't think it was anything hugely important.
Nothing guitar related.
We did talk a bit about guitar. We did talk about guitars. We talked a bit about... he asked about what my thoughts were on
guitars,
that article, you know, that we, the Washington Post article.
Yeah.
Death of Guitar or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. It was cool. We just sort of hung out and talked about that. So, I don't know when it's coming out. Hopefully I didn't make an idiot of myself.
Oh, I'm sure you did not. Sounds probable.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely it does, yeah. So, that's kind of what I've done this weekend. Other than that, I've just been prepping for NAMM. I leave on Sunday, as I said, and I have still got loads and loads of work to do before I go.
It's going to be exciting.
So it is, worrying, but I think it's going to be fun.
Mark Packham, you had a band practice this week, didn't you? And it's rejuvenated your love for a specific amplifier.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it many times on the podcast, but the Marshall DSL-50 is a fantastic amplifier, potentially the best amp that Marshall have ever made.
Uh-huh.
So I had a band practice this weekend, and in the room, the rehearsal room, there were two DSL-50s. There's two guitarists in my band, and they were both plugged into DSL-50s, and it's probably the best guitar sound we've ever had.
It's such a quintessential punk rock sound, isn't it?
Totally. Even so much so that there's no pedals involved at all. Dan Grace,
Dan didn't take his Klon.
No, he didn't take his Klon. He did take the Mojo, and
pedal.
It actually sounded better without the Mojo plugged in.
I'm not sure about that.
So it was basically Les Paul Junior on one side, going straight into the Marshall on the crunch setting, so it's the clean channel, but it's the boosted version of that. And on the other side, it was Dan with his what was he playing? Telly Esquire.
Not an Esquire.
Telly Telecaster.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a 52 Telly,
52 Custom Shop. It's fantastic,
and it sounded absolutely fantastic. Like those amps just fit in a very particular kind of frequency range. They just really fit in like a pocket.
Yeah, absolutely. Pocket. They're such a perfect like power chord amplifier.
But I mean, even the clean sound's pretty good. I don't like the drive sound from the like what they call the lead channel, so the red channel on there. But the two sounds you can get off the green channel, both sound absolutely fantastic. Marshall aren't known for their clean sounds, but some people really like that sound. It's that. You know, the second setting on the green channel with the gain all the way up is just the perfect guitar sound for me. And also, what it kind of sparked was a bit of a debate within the band, like particularly from Dan Gray, friend of the podcast, Dan Grace's side. He wants to get 412 again. He's like, I'm sick of going to a gig and I go there and there's like a 112, or I take my 112 combo. What I want is a 412 and a 50 watt head. And it's like so much the way the industry has gone against. Mm. But he's like, this just reminds me of doing great gigs back in the day, having a big 412 and a 50 watt head on both sides of the stage and a massive bass stack, and that is what I want. So yeah, I think he's going to buy a Marshall 412 and a DSL-50.
Oh, that's cool.
I think also he was going to buy a JMP, and he was like, well, I was going to spend, you know, like a grand, 1200 quid on a JMP, something like that. But like DSL-50s these days,
they go for no money.
Yeah, like 300 quid.
Yeah.
And they're really, really good.
Yeah, they're absolutely fantastic. You know, speaking of a custom shop tellies and Dan Grace's custom shop telly, did you see that this week or last week, Rabia got a custom shop Esquire?
Did really?
You see this?
No, I didn't see this. Yeah. No.
Very nice bound Sunburst Esquire with two pickup Esquire, but with the single ply white plate, obviously.
Rosewood neck, though.
Rosewood neck. Yeah, what's wrong with that? That's sort of the best telly.
Yeah, no,
I disagree. Yeah, but, you know, that's fine, whatever. Fine.
Yeah, but yeah, it looks lovely. Did you see it, Matt?
I did, yes. And I actually really like the Strat that he plays, mainly because I spec'd
it. The black Strat, it's great.
Because you spec'd it, Matt. Did you make that
back when he was at Anderton's? Yeah, that's when he got it.
I was like, you know what people want? John Mayer-style Strats. What did I spec? John Mayer-style Strats.
Nice.
Yeah. And actually, that reminds me, did you see, I saw an article today, whether you guys saw it on Instagram. Carter Vintage Guitars have had a couple of crazy things come in recently. So Ed King, who played in Lynyrd Skynyrd, hit his 73 Strat is for sale that he wrote Sweet Home Alabama on.
Wow.
How much?
$450,000. For a 73 Strat. I was like, I've had a place like... Keep the swears out. And and they had John Mayer's own John Mayer Signature 2 Rock, which they made 25 of in 2007, and it was $40,000.
How much are they normally? How much were they new?
The last one, actually, there's one for sale on Reverb, I believe, right now for $17,000.
Blimey. How much were they new, though?
They were about 10,000. Well, I
mean,
that's
an investment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you never. I was talking to a colleague at work. I was like, you'd never lose money on that.
No.
Ever. And I remember there was one on eBay not so long ago, and the guy was like, yeah, I'm keeping the matching cab, you know, because it's probably going to go up in value. I'm like, what, without the head? Like, why would you sell the head and keep the cab just in case?
Bonkers. Like,
yeah. No, so that, no, I mean, that's, I mean, to be honest, anything. In fact, I've not seen one for a while, and I'd imagine they're probably going for a fair amount of money, was the American John Mayer Strats that came
out. Do you know
what?
The
standard ones.
I literally just saw one on Facebook as I was like scrolling through a bunch of bits, and now I can't find it. As we were talking, I was just thinking, I've literally just seen one. But you know what it's like on Facebook where you kind of see something and then, oh no, there it is. John Mayer Strat. £1,200.
Oh, that's a great price. That's a great price for a great guitar.
Yeah. USA. Do you know what the thing, because I don't care about John Mayer, whatever. The Strat's fine. It's like a Sunburst Strat, whatever. The gig bag, really, really good. Yeah. A great gig bag.
What makes a gig bag really good? Especially from Fender. Their gig bags tend to be
easy.
Really well padded, but lightweight. Good straps, and also had like two rubber runners at the bottom, so when you put it down, bag isn't touching the ground at all.
I'm into that.
Do you know what I like? I think I prefer that to the guitar. I like it a lot. Oh, really good lining inside.
Just ask for the bag.
Yeah.
Just see if you can get the bag. Give them
they're
a call.
Made by a company called Incase, who I think do gig bags. Matt, you might know more.
The one that I've seen a lot of people use is Reunion Blues. They're the gig bags that everyone's sort of raving
about.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I've seen those. They're really expensive though. But yeah, Incase apparently make. Oh, so they don't just do guitar gig bags. They do all sorts of bags. They do camera bags and stuff like that. If you want to buy one, £120.
Blimey.
I mean, that's also not a million miles away from what a top end gig bag is nowadays.
Sure, but it's a lot of money for a gig bag.
It is a lot of money for a gig bag, but it's. It's not crazy.
Now, we do have a ton of actually really exciting news to get through. So we will sort of we'll dive into that very briefly, just to let everyone know, over on the Patreon version of the Guitar Nerds podcast, as of this week, we'll be starting a brand new mini-series called Brand of the Week. Brand of the Week. It's a solo podcast with me, essentially looking at different brands, but with a theme. The first handful of episodes, I'm going to be exclusively looking at aluminium and acrylic guitar brands.
God.
So it's going to be quite an adventure. This was actually all spurred on. I wanted to do this series for a while, but this was all spurred on because a podcast listener posted in the Facebook Guitar Nerds forum, facebook.com/ Guitar Nerds forum? What's our
Guitar Nerds forum?
Guitar Nerds forum. Yeah, I don't know why I forgot that. Posted a link to an Instagram post by a company called Dead Man Guitars. Now, the guitar itself was absolutely bonkers. The website for this company is the worst ever, but their Instagram is actually fantastic. And did any of you guys see this?
I saw the guitar. I haven't seen their Instagram, but I'm now looking at their website, and blimey, that's a website, isn't it? That's a real website.
Yeah.
It looks like parts. I don't know what's going on here. It's just very weird. What you can buy is a bridge that, instead of, you know how on the badass bridges it says badass across it, these just say dead man.
Yeah, if boys, I've just popped it in our shared document. Why don't you click on that little Instagram link and check it out and see if we can describe this particular instrument to the listener.
It looks at the body shape. How would you describe it?
A police badge.
I think it does look like a police badge.
I think that whole thing looks like a speed racer from a pod racer from the Phantom Menace.
Right.
That's their kind of standard body shape.
So yeah. So this it's an aluminium neck guitar. It very much has the sort of look of a of an electrical guitar company guitar, listeners.
Yeah.
But imagine if someone bought an electrical guitar company guitar and then took just a normal saw so they could only do straight lines and then cut sort of the top horns. It tried to cut them into SG horns, but only had the option of doing straight lines.
Yeah.
Rather than angling anything.
But also then took three different drill bits going up to quite large through the headstock and made three very big holes in the headstock.
The headstock does look like an open book of the Hungry Caterpillar. Yes,
yeah, it's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, but I absolutely love this guitar. What a cool, interesting, unique, and weird instrument. So I completely love it. So it started me down this whole rabbit hole of looking for an aluminium neck guitar, and I just found so many niche unsung brands, as well as of course some classic brands that we all know and love. So I'm gonna start talking about those over on the Patreon episode as a weekly mini series, but do check that out, available to the $5 tier and up. Anyway, can we
just talk about the fact that they is Dead Man Guitar?
Yeah.
Not Dead Man Guitars.
Guitars. Oh, okay. Sorry, yes.
Deadman Guitar.
Deadman Guitar. I mean, best to check them out on Instagram, I think, because their website really
Dave
doesn't have
Deadman.
Anything on it. And it is just, yeah, Deadman Guitar, all one word on Instagram. Go check it out, listeners. It's super cool. Anyway, let's dive headfirst into some news. News. First on the news, Dan Electro have leaked something, or sort of, you know, teased something that they're going to be releasing at NAMM. Relict effects pedals.
They're not the first.
What do we think?
But hopefully they'll be the last.
Yeah.
No. Because I got that Copper Sound, the Morse code thingy, and that was Relict. So I got a Relict.
Yeah, it's like we're saying, they won't be the first. But I hope they're the last.
Oh, what's wrong with a Relict? How can you like a Relict guitar, Matt, and not like a Relict pedal?
That is true. But
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The only one that I think has ever looked good, Relic, was the Tech 21 Sans Amp.
Oh, that
looked
amazing because it looked real.
Yeah.
I don't remember them doing that. Yeah, Tech 21 did a Relict pedal.
Yeah,
when?
Yeah, it was like it was just a regular like GT2 or whatever, the guitar preamp. But right. It was Relict.
When?
I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago.
But This totally passed me by. That sounds amazing.
It looked amazing. It was really, really good. Really
so,
good.
Okay, so Dan Electro, have all they've done is leaked a picture on their Instagram with a slogan saying, "They were lost, now found after 50 years. And it has a picture of this new chassis that Dan Electro have designed, which is a very traditional, simple rectangular box with the input and outputs on the top of the pedal. Now, the pedal in question is just sort of a mock-up, so it's not anything specific. So they're not telling us what the actual effects are. Or I assume that's the case. What do you guys think? I think that's just a mock-up to say this is the new chassis, I guess.
What I didn't understand is that they would like doing... Their kind of marketing seemed like they were bringing back old pedals, because the marketing is they were lost, now found after 50 years.
No, sorry. It's they were lost, found after 50 years.
Sure. And obviously they've used the non-standard Dan Electro logo. It looks like an older logo. So I don't know whether they've... Well, it doesn't look like the regular one, I don't think. Does it? Oh, maybe not. Maybe I'm...
Right, but the knobs on the pedal are the same as the ones that are on the...
The Billionaire.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The Billionaire series.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's something that they did back in the day. I don't think so. But who knows? Who knows what it'd be like? Dan Electro have been pretty inconsistent when it comes to pedals. They've made some great stuff. They've made some very bad stuff. We shall wait and see, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I think they're going to be cool. And also, just another sort of brief bit of news. Fidelity Guitars, who we're a big fan of, have updated their website. And they've made a shiny, new, very gorgeous-looking website, which now includes links to both their Horrors signature guitar and their Public Service Broadcasting signature guitar, as well as info on the Thundermaker bass, which they are working on, and, of course, the Stella Rosa, which is the guitar that they made with Mojo Mojo pickups.
And Kickstarter really cool. On the way, right?
Yeah, that's actually the other thing that I was going to talk about. It's not a Kickstarter; it's actually their Indiegogo, which is going to be for a quarterly production. It's a quarterly production program on Indiegogo, which gets you 15% off selected models when they hit a certain threshold. I think it's a really interesting idea. A really cool way to
repeat that. I didn't understand that.
So they're doing an Indiegogo program.
Yes.
So you can go
pay to be a part of it.
Yeah, exactly. And if they hit a certain threshold,
yeah,
you get a discount, which would be greater than the amount that you've
okay.
Put
and if they
them.
Don't hit that certain threshold, you have supported them. Which I guess is the point.
I haven't actually read the right, details any further than just the headline that they've put out.
Okay.
With it.
As far as I understand, Indiegogo is not like Kickstarter, where if they don't hit the thing, no one pays anything.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you just contribute.
Yeah, but I think that's really cool, and what an interesting way for a sort of small guitar brand to go around sort of offering a discount. I mean, I think the guitars are great on there. If you look at the in-stock list on the Fidelity stuff at the moment, I think they've got some really great guitars, including the demo piece that we had a year ago.
Yeah.
Is back on there, I noticed. Yep. So that's not been there for a while, and absolutely loved that guitar. So some really interesting bits and bobs for you to check out. But do check them out. Jay Cross, we should probably talk about the most anticipated effects pedal of 2019. Strymon have unveiled the Volante.
The Volante.
Volante.
The Volante. I was calling it the Voltaine for at least a week.
Voltaine.
It's Italian for steering wheel.
Is it really?
Yep.
Okay, well, there we go.
Steering wheel?
Yep.
Not just wheel?
No, steering wheel.
Interesting.
Or wheel. Well, yeah. Steering wheel.
Well, we had hoped that they were going to be releasing a coffee machine, but no, they have released... Well, what have they released? Jay Cross,
so,
give us the news.
The Volante is, and I'm sure everybody has seen about this now, but the Volante is a new tape echo style pedal. But as well as that, they appear to have... and dear listener, you are sat at home screaming, "But I already have an El Capistan. What am I to do?" And actually, what this is it appears to be a mixture between an El Capistan and a Deco, because they're really selling the kind of tape saturation side of this as well.
But it's also twice the size of both those pedals put together.
Not twice the size of both of them put together. It is about the size of two of those pedals put together. So you've got three switches. You've got the on and off switch, which I feel like pedals aren't often labelled as on.
Normally bypass.
Yeah, it's normally bypass. And this is on.
I think the Strymon way makes way more sense.
Well, when it's on, it's on.
Yeah,
because
you have
an on button on a TV.
Well, yeah, and every other electronic device.
That's not true. Quite often you have a standby button on a TV. Oh. So it is kind of the other way around. But anyway, that doesn't matter. So you've got three switches. So you've got on, you've got tap for tap tempo, and you also have a favorite switch. And you can have presets and stuff on there as well. It looks really cool. Really, really interesting. I don't think this is what anybody was really expecting.
No, we all thought it was going to be a phaser.
There was lots of talk, I think, mainly peddled by the Gear Slum, the rogue of the podcast world,
the
guitar
fools.
Podcast world. I think they were really pushing that it was going to be a phaser. But at the same time, I don't see why it wouldn't have been a phaser. No, I think a lot of people were expecting them to release kind of a Helix-style thing. But they haven't done that. And you know,
I thought they were going to do updates to the big three.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. But I guess...
Timeline's got to be, what?
5 years old now?
No, longer than that. I'd say Timeline's... I reckon 2010.
No,
I reckon it's 8 years.
Let me have a look. Let me see if I can
really?
Find it.
Really?
Wow. Talking.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think this is cool. There's lots going on with it. You can individually affect the tape heads, which I think is a really nice little feature. It just looks cool, and it's good to see that Strymon are releasing something guitar related, because obviously last year all we got was the big
Magneto.
Magneto. So cool to see that this is coming out, and
2011 for the timeline.
Yeah, there we go. Right, how about that?
Blimey. Well, it will be interesting to see. I don't think it's not maybe the sort of innovation that I think the amount of build up in this advertising campaign.
True,
but it is a cool product.
But also, I think that it is it's not as digital as some of their other pedals are, and I think what most people are kind of expecting of Strymon, you know, you don't have the LCD screen. Sorry, the LED screen. You don't have LCD. You wouldn't get one of those on a Strymon. Maybe that's what's coming. Strymon, a timeline with an LCD screen. But you don't get the little screen. It's all done with knobs. And I think this looks cool. What they've said is that they have modeled the analog workings of a tape echo and done that.
You've got to remember is this is modelled on the Binson Ecorec, which is a magnetic drum, not a tape.
Yes.
Which is where Volante comes from. Steering wheel, I checked.
Weird.
Which relates to the magnetic drum that Binson's work on. I actually like the fact that you can just quickly tap in the playback heads. I think that's quite cool.
For me, that was the best feature on there because, you know, that's something that I haven't seen on anything else that's actually on the face of the pedal.
Yeah.
So having, the heads that you can turn on and off.
Yeah.
By like actual tactile buttons rather than going into a menu, I think is actually pretty cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It looks quite cool. There's some cool stuff with the expression pedal. I thought was quite cool as well, because obviously you've got the expression in and obviously MIDI, which is really nice as well.
Yeah. Not as expensive as I thought it was going to be as
well. How much, Joe?
It's $399 USDs.
So does that put it at the same price as a timeline or cheaper?
I think it's roughly
slightly
the same.
Cheaper.
I thought it was going to be... I saw the size of it more than anything, and I was like, this is going to be a £600
same,
pedal.
It's only the same size as the Strifecta.
Although, I tell you what, here's a weird one for you. Speed... Maybe I'm being crazy.
Drug?
400 milliseconds is the maximum speed.
Is that not the same as an Ecorec, though? Is that
not
what
you would have thought that digitally, a lot of other companies, not naming anyone, who model certain types of effects, tend to give people...
How long did it take? Where are we at? 45 minutes in. That's quite long. That's quite good for you.
Also, the Helix. I'm just saying, you know, if you go to... a tape echo, you're like, oh, I want to do like a sound on sound style thing. I know it's got the looper on there, but 400 milliseconds becomes, I mean, because I found the same thing with my Deluxe Memory Man, it only goes up to like 380 or something. It becomes very limiting very quickly.
Yeah, you like you say, you would have kind of expected them. But then, you know, they do a whole bunch of stuff on the timeline. Maybe they're going for something different. You know, maybe that's the whole idea.
I think that's absolutely it. I think they're just trying to, they're trying to recreate a, simple's not the right word, but, you know, real classic analog delay sound without the extreme bells and whistles that you get.
I tell you what's funny though, and this is obviously I'm assuming it's a real technical word, but it sounds ridiculous whoever named it. Okay, so we've outfitted it with an incredibly powerful analog devices Shark processor, which provides 266 megahertz core instruction rate and an incredible 1.596 gigaflops of peak performance.
Yeah, I love the gigaflops. I love the flops.
That is fantastic. Mark Packham,
hello.
Talk to me about Orange Amplification. They've launched this. The new year's gone with a bit of a bang for them.
So
unusual products.
So one of these products. Let me go back to the start of the story. So I went to Orange at some point last year. Can't remember when it was, to shoot some stuff for Reverb. And they had this incredible product that no one could stop playing. And I wasn't allowed to talk about it for a long time, simply because it wasn't out yet. It was embargoed. So the product that I heard and was absolutely blown away by it, and I'm glad that we can talk about it now, was the Tube Lord 30. This is Orange's brand new
combo.
Isn't
it the Tremlord?
Tremlord 30, that's what I meant. That's
Tube Lord were a band. We're like an indie band.
The Tremlord 30. I did this with the Teleport as well and the Transport.
The Transport.
Just stop making things that sound like other things. Anyway, the Tremlord 30. And Trem being the word that is important
here.
Yes,
it is.
Because, the Tremlord 30, 30 watt 1x12 combo, all valve, built in valve driven trem and reverb. So I guess it's a real kind of vintage concept, you know, valve, trem, and reverb in a small combo. The good thing about it, and the thing I was so impressed with, is just how it sounds. You know, they're not doing anything flashy on here. You know, you've got foot switchable trem and reverb. That's kind of about it in terms of features. But
it's dual speed, right?
Yes, I believe it is. Two spring reverb tank and does it say two speed trim?
I'm pretty sure I remember on the top panel which there's two speeds and a graphic that looks like a shark fin.
Yes,
there's two speeds, so you can go between a slow and a fast speed, which I thought was quite cool.
Yeah. So again, the thing that really blew me away was just the sound of it. You know, really rich, but not overly dark sounding. I think this is gonna change the game a little bit in terms of small 30 watt amps.
And it's got its classic headroom or bedroom switch.
Headroom Lovely. Or bedroom switch in there as well, so that's going and also it's got the valves. You can switch the valves out, so you've got the 30 to 15 or you've got the 2 watt to 1 watt switching for halving power, even within the headroom to bedroom categories as well. So I can't really say enough good things about how it sounded. That was kind of really the proof for me of why I think this is going to do so well this year. You know, there's tons of amps out there at the 30 watts and tons of 1x12 combos available. I just thought the sound is absolutely phenomenal. So recommend everyone go and watch the video, but more importantly, when they're in stores, do go and check them out because I think people are going to be blown away. But that wasn't their only release this week. Another product that I saw when I was at Orange, but didn't get to hear, the Pedal Baby 100. So a small portable amp that they've made, 100 watt class AB power amp, basically designed to be a power amp for your pedals.
Now this is super interesting.
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah. I think this is wicked.
Yeah, so it would have been very easy for them, like a lot of small amp companies companies making small amps, to do a Class D power amp. But as we have all known from this podcast, we talked about it a lot, Class D tends to kind of make the amps sound a little boxy. It makes it sound a little choked. I've certainly found that on bass amps in particular, you know, the Mark bass stuff. I know, Joe, you've talked about that, not liking Class D stuff.
Yeah, it's always choked.
But that's kind of the same for guitar amps as well. So what Orange have gone with is this Class AB amp. And yeah, like I said, haven't heard this one yet, but really it's pretty simple. You've just got bass and treble and volume, and that's it. It's kind of small enough to go into a rucksack, and 3 kilos, I think. Yeah. three kilos.
What I liked about this is that you could actually just plug a guitar straight into the front. Because it's actually got a
basic
single
EQ.
Ended. It's got a Class A front end.
Yeah.
But it's really designed for you to use a whole bunch of preamp pedals straight into the front of it. And I think for that money, just like, if you just need, like, I reckon this will be a just, you know, as a pedal platform, if you want to run something in stereo and you don't want to spend loads of money,
just get two of these.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think about that, but yeah, what a great idea.
Not a huge amount of money. $299. I think the Tremlord is $999.
Right. I mean that makes sense for the sort of spec you're getting on the Tremlord.
Yeah, Tremlord 30. I can't find a price. Yes, I can. $999. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that does, because obviously, you know, 30 watts, 112s. You're going up against things like Deluxe Reverbs, which are obviously very, very popular. Let's see how they do. But for me, you know, I just think that's a very, very good sounding amp.
Yeah,
best bit of gear I've heard this year so far.
Cool. Matt Knight, why don't you tell us about Earthquaker Devices' new big release? Another release that's been gradually leaked out with some very... I loved Earthquaker's advertising. I did think they were going for something a little bit out of Orange's book with their sort of YouTube ad that they did.
Well, it was funny because I kept seeing that name. And I was like, that name? What is it about the name? So their adverts feature someone called Eric Quincy Davis.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly realised that the initials are EQD.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Earthquaker Devices. So I thought that was quite cool. I thought it was quite clever. So, yeah, Earthquaker Devices have released the Swiss Things, which is their pedal board management system.
Love it.
It's basically a dual loop switcher with an onboard 20 dB boost. With their flexi, I think they call it flexi switch technology, that allows the switches to be either latching or non-latching.
Yeah.
So you can have two different pedals. Loop one is non-buffered if you want to use fuzz pedals. You've got isolated outputs, input, tuner out, and then you've got volume expression out. Now, the quite nice thing about the expression out means that you can use an expression pedal to control the onboard boost rather than use a volume pedal. So you get no sort of like tone suck from using a volume pedal, basically. It's funny though, because I said to you guys before, it's like I designed almost something not as complicated but almost exactly the same as this from Bright Onion before, and I actually think it's a really cool idea if you don't use much on your pedal board, or for example you want to run a bunch of wacky effects in loop two and then just have, I don't know, an overdrive in loop one and still have some stuff in front of it. Just means that you can like momentarily switch in a loop of kind of crazy effects, but it's nice because you can hit both amps, you can go between A or B. The boost switch is great if you want to push one amp harder than the other, so it's just a really nice little sort of system for small pedal boards to allow you to be a little bit more creative.
And it's Earthquaker branching out into a different area of products, I guess. I was going to use the word effect,
I think,
but that's not really what's going on.
I call them like utility products.
Yeah. Totally.
And I think it's great that people, you know, and I always think that James at Bright Onion's been really good at that, developing things that you don't think you need it until someone makes it, and then you're like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you do something that on your pedal board? And I hope to see like a lot more stuff like this, because I think it's especially for like, you know, like I said, I'm not using an ESA, I'm using a smaller board. Something like this actually allows you to add in a little bit of creativity without buying a big pro switching system.
Yeah.
I really like the momentary aspect of this as well. I think that's really, really cool, and something that you don't see very regular. I can't think of anything. I'm sure that you can do it with the ESA. Can you do it with the ESA? You can.
Yeah.
It's not something that you see very regularly with switching systems, you know, the ability
actually reminds me of a Zvex pedal, and I can't remember what it's called, which is also it's a single loop switcher, but the loop is engaged by how hard you hit.
Oh, no, it wasn't. No. It wasn't Zvex. It was Toadworks.
Yeah, that's it. That's Toadworks. But
I remember them.
Zvex do something similar.
It was called the Toadworks something envelope.
The envelope. Yes, and actually, no, sorry. There is a Electro-Harmonix loop gate, which has got a gated loop on it. So it works a little bit like a tremolo. So you can like tremolo in an individual loop. And actually, I've really overlooked one, and I don't even know if they still make it anymore, is the Pigtronix Keymaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They did something with that recently. What did I see about that? They have brought out a smaller version, I think, maybe. Keymaster.
Which was like a reamping mixer that had XLR out, and you could run pedal chains in series or in parallel. So there's a bunch of cool pedals out there. And actually, another thing on our news, if I can go straight into it.
Oh, yeah, I see hogging the news.
just because it does a similar thing, is the Analog Alien pedals, the EPI, the effects pedal interface, which is a very, very similar thing, a dual effects loop, A or B, guitar input. But it's also got a dedicated balanced output and an RCA output, so you can run straight into a desk at the correct level.
Wow.
So you can use it as a DI box straight into a door. You can use it as a reamp box, but you can also plug pedals in as well. So it allows you to take your distortion pedal and go straight into your interface, which is great if you want to use onboard modeling and stuff like that as well, you know, in Logic or whatever.
Super cool. Super cool. Jay yes. Cross.
Yeah?
You boys have bought something again.
Who's talking to me and Mark?
Yeah. Bought some.
We went to bought
some beers and that.
Yeah, we got some
did
beers.
Did you? You bought beers?
No.
Oh.
We just wanted to see how worked up you would get if you said.
I did offer you a beer earlier and you turned it down.
I had a whiskey instead.
Oh, I'm ill.
Whatever. Anyway, Jay Cross, Fender have made a new acquisition.
Yes.
They've acquired something that is a real close to your heart favourite. It's going to be interesting to see how Jay's tune changes on this now.
100%. Yeah. I was just waiting for the text when we said like, oh, this is a bit weird, isn't it? Jay,
so what is the news, Jay Cross?
The news is,
and the best thing about it is, he's going to be in charge of them in this country.
I'm not. They fall out. So, okay, the news
Let's
is...
Let's get to the actual news.
The news is that Fender have bought Bigsby. Fender have bought Bigsby from Gretsch. From Fred Gretsch, who... And I can't remember exactly how the relationship works with Gretsch, but basically, Fred Gretsch owns... or licenses Gretsch to Fender. I really don't know the ins and outs of it, how it works, basically. I think Fender maybe own Gretsch as well, but pay... I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Bigsby got... they were a company from the 40s, and they made guitars, and they made tremolo systems, vibrato systems. And in 1966, they were sold to Gibson, where they were until 1999, when the Gretsch Guitar Company purchased Bigsby from Gibson. And then a couple of years later, Gretsch got brought into their FMIC, the Fender Musical Instruments Corporation. Corporation. Yeah.
Is it like when you take Scouts Honor, you got to like...
You got to like say the national anthem or something. Yeah.
But the national anthem is Layla by Eric Clapton.
Scooby-dooby-dooby-doo.
Wait, was that bill, played in the Strat?
Bill. Scooby-dooby-dooby-doo. Scooby-dooby-doo. I assume so. I don't know either.
Might be. I'm going to research that while you keep talking.
So anyway, this week, and I found out about this when I saw a press release go out last week. So right. I didn't know about it until, right. I literally didn't know about that. I know a lot about what goes on, yeah, but I didn't know about this. But no, basically, I'm not going to be in charge of these because they fall under the what we call our specialty brands section, which is, so it's Gretsch, EVH, Charvel, and Jackson and now Bigsby. So it's cool. It's interesting. I guess we'll see what happens. I assume there's going to be loads more Fender guitars than Bigsby's on, lots of people like. So
I wonder
if that means
other people aren't going to be able to use Bigsby.
I'd be very surprised. Very, very surprised.
It'd be interesting. I saw
lots of people on the internet saying, "Oh no, this is the end of being able to buy a 335 with a Bigsby on it." And you've got to be mad to turn down that business, isn't you?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So I'd be very surprised. I don't think things will change from that front. But who knows? It won't be my job. But very interesting that it's all there. And actually, I just think there's going to be... I think the thing that will be cool is for people who work in guitar shops who... You know, once a day, probably, you would get someone in and say, "Excuse me, I need to buy a part for my Bigsby. Can you please help me?" And it was always a nightmare. And if there's one thing that Fender are good at, it is making stuff available. So I think dealers will have a much easier time getting weird parts and getting just Bigsby's by themselves. They've always been a nightmare to buy. I don't know how you got them in this country, but I remember it was always a hassle.
Yeah.
So yeah, there we go. Very, very interesting.
So I can't find out very quickly or easily what guitar Layla was played on, but there is someone doing a guitar lesson of it on YouTube using a Minarik Inferno. So I can only assume Eric Clapton Minarik Inferno flame-shaped guitar.
I do know what pedal it was recorded with, though. Sure. It was the Digitech Crossroads.
Classic pedal. Now,
it's got Layla on there twice, just in case you really need
Layla
to know.
And Layla acoustic.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Re-amped. Now, we are coming right up at time. Now, there is a load of other stuff in the news that we haven't actually got round to covering. I think we should shelve some of this stuff for next week, because all of it
here's what's going to happen. You're going to say no, we'll talk about it next week,
and then in between talking about it in the podcast.
In between, no, not only that. In between now and then, there's going to be a load of other stuff that's announced.
Probably, but some of it is super cool. So we'll shelve it.
Maybe just up to you. I'd just bosh it in the notes if I was you. Yeah. You're going to make the notes available. That was something you said.
We have been. Yeah, notes have been available. Yeah,
I wanted to talk about the deep ogging.
Okay, let's go on then. Let's throw one more thing in. Thorpe Effects have introduced a new pedal. Mark Packham, tell us about it.
Yeah, brand new effect from Thorpe. I'll just go over this very
quickly.
You're
such a pushover, Joe.
I know. Pushed him right over. Loved it. Brand new pedal collaboration with Dan Coggins, who is formerly a pedal designer for Lovetone pedals. This is apparently his first modulation pedal since working for Lovetone. It's an analog chorus and vibrato. I haven't heard it myself, but speaking to Mikey Demas at the pub on Saturday night, he said that he like me, is not a fan of chorus, and even he said it sounds absolutely phenomenal.
Chorus is the best effect.
No, chorus is hands down the worst effect. I would rather play...
No, flanger is the worst effect.
No, I would rather play an entire set with a ring modulator on set to fully wet. Before I'd use a chorus
Your
pedal.
Music would be 100% better if you did that, and you should do that anyway.
Unbelievable.
We all know the best effect is Layla acoustic.
Yeah. I think we should end it there.
Yes, that does pretty much bring us up to the end of this week's regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. But we'll be continuing over on the Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early, a whole day early now. And $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week, plus access to all the bonus features and mini-series, such as this new Brand of the Week series, an exploration into acrylic and aluminium guitars. $10 a month makes you one of our executive producers, and it gets you everything already mentioned. Plus, I have to read your name out at the end.
You're going
to
struggle this
in
week.
One breath. I'm thinking it's about time we moved on from this.
No.
You know we're at full cap. We're at 50. So I've actually redone it.
What do you mean
now?
Full cap?
It's we capped it at 50 names, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
Oh,
no,
did we take the cap off?
Yeah. We just said as many as possible.
Oh, okay, right.
I didn't realise there was ever a cap.
We want you to fail.
Okay, well, I've got the full 50 anyway. I've redone it now. I'll be reading
them
out.
We've not had 50 before.
I think it was teetering around sort of 47. I think that's where we were. 46, 47. It's now
basically
450.
Keep him coming because Joe is going to fail at some point. If not, I'm really, I mean, he might not fail this week because he's very ill and he's done very well to hold it together for this podcast. Thanks. But this is the time I think he might fail.
Hang on, we need some back.
I've reordered it. This is the first time it's going to be reordered.
What? So what do you mean reordered?
We're not going to finish with Colin Anderson for the first time. In fact, yeah, Colin's going to be sort of relatively.
What are you talking about?
I'm doing it alphabetically.
He's going to cancel.
What do you mean
Patreon?
Alphabetically?
I'm doing it alphabetically.
He's cancelling his Patreon now.
It's now alphabetical.
Listening.
From now on.
I think you should still do Colin Anderson at the end.
Okay.
It's
alphabetical.
I also think that what you should start doing is every week, seeing as you've got loads of time on your
hands. Will Clare is now technically the last one because I alphabetically.
You're going alphabetically by first name.
That is how.
I'd love it if it worked out that Colin Anderson was the first one if he was doing it by surname. So just start off with the Colin Anderson.
But yeah, it's
what do you mean alphabetically by first name? What are you, iTunes?
Well, this is how Patreon is exporting the list to me, and unless I do it through an exported list of Patreon,
does it not give you a like first signed up date on the export?
Well, actually, this is because I took over from you because you used to supply this list,
yeah,
and you used to supply it with Colin Anderson last, but he's not the oldest.
Oh, I don't feel so bad.
$10 tier Patreon.
Is that Moog?
Moo Gravitt is the oldest $10 tier Patreon backer. So actually, we had it the wrong way around.
Well, let's hear this.
So now
it's
alphabetical.
I also, like I say, because you don't do anything all day nowadays, I think it's important that. Do you remember the Poker Rap, where it was the first 151 Pokemon, but said to a rap? And
no,
do you
think you should rap the names?
You need to rap the names, and you need to. I could rap. You need to make them rhyme and stuff like that.
No, I don't want to do that. All right, I'm just going to read these names out. I'm not even going to do it in one breath. I'm just going to.
What do you
mean
you're not going to do it in one breath?
I'm just going to read them.
No.
Slowly.
Give the people.
I'm doing one breath. Okay, all right, here we go.
Matt's gone.
Aaron Sherman, Adam Royce Crisp, Adrian Day, Andrew Goody, Andy McKenzie, Blair Toms, Brad Page, Carlos Mancha, Christopher Rapsit, Christopher McCuppetson, Carlos Mancha, Christopher Loset, Colin Anderson, Dave Lee, Derek Ritz, DJ Marcus, Morgan Watson, Henry J. Winker, Ernie Cooper, Hans Am, Shane Gray, Jamie Kemp, Ron Coyers, Ken Sayers, Chris Connors, Roy Ernstis, Martin Cliff, Matt Bullamy, Matt Roberts, Mark Duking, Paul Corrigan, Luke Kravitz, Luke Johnson, Rob Cool, Rob Nordwick, Rob Grant, Rob Cousins, Robin Fred, Ross Edwards, Scott Hamilton, Scott Kennedy, Sean Armour, Stephen Hens, Stephen Michael, Stuart Tate, The Tone Mob Podcast, Tucker Abedin, Will Clare.
Oh, there wasn't much left then. I reckon there's about two more names is going to break you.
You can't have The Tone Mob Podcast.
That's literally what they put themselves in as.
Two more names is going to break you. We need two more Patreon subscribers. Also, I was thinking about this the other day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm watching wrestling, I think if someone walked in while I was watching this specific bit, I'd feel very ashamed. And I sort of feel that if someone was listening to the podcast on their stereo while we were doing that bit, they should feel very ashamed. Listen to it.
Yes.
Are you right?
Have you forgotten how to finish the podcast?
No, I haven't. He hasn't forgotten
because he has it written down. He's never remembered.
I have it written down. All of this is scripted.
The whole thing.
There you have it. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at
GuitarNerds. What do you mean?
Or
there you
on
have
YouTube
it?
At GuitarNerds videos.
There you have
you
it.
You can even visit our website, GuitarNerds.net, where all our various channels are displayed in all of their glory. And you can even purchase GuitarNerds merchandise and become a true member of the club. That's it from us for this week. We'll catch you next time for some more guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Shoot that dog.
Yo.
Shoot that dog.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free.
warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.